Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Fantasy Freeway presented by the Red Light Sports Network and sponsored by Cover That Spread. In today's show, we will be discussing fantasy football strategy, salary cap, trends, predictions, and anything else relevant to help you win your season-long or weekly fantasy games. For more information on fantasy sports, go to the redlightsportsnetwork.com fantasy page and always play responsibly.
I am your host, J.A., and I am being joined live on the air by the big man, Troy Otradovic. How is it going today?
Well, what's up with the fancy nicknames, buddy? You know, just a busy guy out here doing a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff going on work-wise and with the network and positioning myself within the network in the community. So a lot of stuff going on, which is good stuff, but it's an exciting day overall in sports. And I know we're talking college football DraftKings tonight. That's our show. And that's the first exciting news, that college football actually starts tonight. I've already submitted a lineup for that contest. We're going to be talking about Saturday games. But I also wanted to talk, J.A., to you about Tom Brady. I know that it's one of those issues. I was talking to people at work, and can we let it go already? And being in Pittsburgh, it seems to have a little more effect, because a lot of them now think there's a conspiracy theory against the Steelers that Tom Brady can play. But at the end of the day, this went to federal court, and the judge even said, when he heard the opening statements, that this should be settled out of court because they will not like the way that he's going to rule. He wasn't ruling on things that were sentimental. He wasn't ruling on past history. He was ruling on a process, basically labor law, J.A. And I figured that it would be suspended. I didn't think that it would be actually overturned with no games. But what are your thoughts on the Tom Brady ruling today?
Well, you hit it right on the head with the federal court being involved, that, you know, there's no conspiracy towards the Steelers or any team for that matter about how this was handled, because this is the real deal when you have a federal stamp of approval on something. And that's exactly what Tom Brady got today. Now, I fully believe that the Wells report was insufficient at best, and that this was a huge overstepping by a commissioner who has really been given more than his fair share of authority over player issues over the last 10 years or however long he's been in power now. So I was very happy that this came out the way it did. I'm happy it happened in a federal court, because now, you know, the appeal process, if and when it does go through, is going to take a long time. So this really sets a very good precedent for the NFL players. And if you're like me, you are a man of the people, and you are all about the people who are basically making the money so the NFL gets richer and richer. So I'm a very, very happy that this went down the way it did.
Yeah, and, you know, Mr. Roger Goodell, or Roger Goddell, as I often call him when certain things happen, is due about $45, $46 million this year, J.A., just throwing that out there. But I agree with you, and it's come up. And the CBA, I mean, at this point, there's nothing they can really do about it because they allowed it. But what I've heard from reports is that they are actually going, when the next CBA comes up, the power of the commissioner is going to be a major issue in that CBA. And I agree. I've said this for years, Jay. I don't understand why the commissioner of the league is the person that handles all of these things. It should be like an arbitrator, a third party that has no vested interest in the profitability of the NFL. That's the way I think it should be. But anyway, as we move on, we've got college football, Jay. Great time of the year. I love NFL football. I grew up in Green Bay. Those are all great things. but there is just something about college football that gets me excited. And we've got games tonight. Nothing major on the slate tonight, but there's some, you know, games tonight, which gets the juices flowing. And then we've got Saturday kickoff. So where do you want to start tonight, buddy? We can go anywhere you want to go.
Are we talking Bahamas? Are we talking Europe? When you say anywhere, I'm going to need to be a little more specific.
You're paying. You're paying.
All right.
But we can go anywhere.
We're going to Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. So let's talk college football. We want to set a DraftKings lineup, and so there's a number of contests. And for those that are not involved in DraftKings, go to the RedLightSportsNetwork.com. You can scroll down to the DraftKings logo, click on it, register very quickly. And you can register with as little as $5 to get started. And contests run anywhere from, you know, 25 cents to thousands of dollars. But what game do you want to play, buddy? You know, what games do we want to look at? And who do we want to talk about? I'm going to let you pick. It's the first DraftKings episode of the fall 2015. So I'll hand the magic wand over to you.
Well, we definitely want to look at Saturday. The 19 games for the early one seems like a lot, but the night is only 17. So let's go with the bigger one. Let's go to 12 o'clock, 5, all 19 games. And let's see who we've got going here. You know, we usually last fall we were always starting with quarterback. With college, you get to set the two quarterbacks, which – I literally forgot about until 3 seconds ago when I logged on to DraftKings. So, do we want to look at one quarterback and come back to that other quarterback slot, or do you want to set both of them right away and then move forward?
Well, here's the thing: first game of the season. This is my mindset. Is you can take a look at the previews and you can take a look at all the Heisman hopeful quarterbacks. But you also have to look at the schedule. Is the Heisman hopeful playing the whole game? And what is he going to do in the first half of play? Really does come into play. I looked at it tonight. I'm looking at these games tonight. I don't think any quarterbacks are probably going to sit. But when you get to Saturday's slate of games, you've got some cupcake games, and you've got some games where you're looking at, just because this is a Heisman hopeful quarterback does not mean that you go out and spend a lot of money for them, because they may not end up playing the whole game. However, in the realm of our show, the way that I would like to approach it, and if you're okay with it, like you said, find that one quarterback, the guy that we want, then move on, and then we can go back, because when I look at this roster and the receivers that I think that are out there and the running backs, we may have to go middle of the pack for our second quarterback, which I did it a lot last year this way, and it seemed to work just fine for me. So if you want to do it that way, that's what I would recommend, Jay.
All right. Well, let's kick it off with the quarterback. The guy that I like, Taysom Hill of BYU, I think he's got a good matchup with Nebraska, so I don't expect a blowout here, but I do expect a lot of points being scored. Anyone that was watching that game, I think it was a Thursday night game last year where he broke his leg. That was a pretty nasty hit. So, you know, you're talking about a guy coming off of a fractured leg last year. You got to wonder, is he going to be fully mobile and have all of his, you know, all of his abilities back? That's my biggest concern with him. He's also in the $10,000 range. So that's a large amount of change to be sitting or to be dropping on a guy that we don't know if he's going to be fully healthy or not. So I think he's a good pass. I do like him, though, and if the situation's right or, you know, we have enough money down at the end, maybe we could upgrade. But I think right now he's just going to be an upgrade option. Another guy that is actually in the same game as Tommy Armstrong of Nebraska, $3,100 cheaper, and I think point production-wise, you know, he was about 12 or about 8 points less per game last season, but we are talking about a guy who had a nice run towards the end and really was, you know, we're looking to take that next step this season. So I'd like to see Tommy Armstrong as a possibility in this lineup. And then if we wanted to go all the way down, you know, one of the games, when you and I talked a lot about this last year, that some of those mid-major conference games where there's tons of scoring, tons of things out there, is a possible way to go. Jaquez Johnson of Florida Atlantic is going against Tulsa this week. You know, he had a very good point per game average last year at 22.9. His salary's at 6,200. I think he could be a guy that could put up some really good points in what looks to be a very high scoring game.
Well, you didn't steal my thunder in the quarterback, so that's good. We're off to a great start today. No thunder stealing right off the bat, which I thought you probably would do, but that's good. There's one guy I'll throw on this list. I'm okay with any of these quarterbacks right now. There's one guy we look at, and you talk about the cupcakes, but I don't think this is a high-quality team. They'll probably put up a lot of points, but I think this quarterback will probably play deep into the second half, maybe even into the fourth quarter, is Matty Mock from Missouri. I like this kid. I actually picked him up last year for a couple games. He's got some progress. He's got a learning curve. You know, not an All-American quarterback, but I think a very solid quarterback. And when you look at the matchup that he has this weekend, I think it's a very good matchup, and he's only $6,500, J.A. So he doesn't have to be our number one guy, but I like Matty Mock from Missouri with the matchup. He averaged around 18 points a game last year. Not great for a quarterback, but he also has a very good matchup in week one. So that would be my one quarterback to throw out there on the list of names that you had. And then my next guy that I have is you have to figure out where Louisville is going to go. But whoever gets the start for Louisville, and now this is a second-string guy, Jay. This wouldn't be our number one guy. These quarterbacks are all in that $4,000 to $5,000 range. And you want – Louisville is a team that is going to pass the ball. I always feel confident with the Louisville quarterback, the way that they have produced quarterbacks. So I know this is for this weekend. We may not use one this weekend, but I'm throwing it out for the listeners that over the course of this season, keep an eye on the Louisville quarterback situation because they are a passing offense. So what do you think of Matty Mock, though, Jay? Because he's a guy I really like. I'd like to get him in our lineup somehow.
Yeah, I like it. And, you know, it's that in-state rivalry game, which tends to be a little closer than just a regular cupcake that's on a schedule for an SEC team. So I do think that Matty Mock could end up being in this game a lot longer than people are expecting. You look at what he did late in the year down the stretch, he really turned it on after about week eight, and that was right in the heart of the SEC schedule for Missouri. So I could go with Matty Mock at 6,500. One guy that I kind of even looked over myself just because he was so far down the line. What about Christian Hackenberg? He's going against Temple. Temple gives up a lot of points.
Oh, gee whiz. There it was. I spoke too soon. My last one I was going to throw later in the show is, depending on money, it's a guy that I hear a lot about living in Pennsylvania. It's Hackenberg. Now, again, do I look at this guy as being able to play at the next level? Doesn't matter. But I think in this game, Penn State versus Temple, I think you're going to see some scoring. Hackenberg's a good choice. So, actually, if we wanted to do this, Jay, I mean, we can go with a high-end guy that we think is going to get us 20-some points. But when I look at this list this weekend, I'm unsure if I want to drop a lot of money in a quarterback, not knowing what the outcome is going to be. I'm good with Hackenberg and Matty Mock. I really am. I would be 100% confident submitting a lineup with those two guys in the lineup this week for week one just because of the way the schedule rolls out.
I agree. I like it. Let's put them in.
Let's do it. You're the official. Well, I have the official one, I guess, because I have to submit it through, through RLSN. But We have Matty Mock and Hackenberg. So let's move on to running back. You know, I want to keep the show moving. We don't want to bore our listeners with a lot of archive time, those listening live. But let's move on to running back, and this is very intriguing. Running backs in college, I mean, you really look at it, J.A., as the season progresses, and this is the thing, as the season progresses, you find those guys that you have to have every week. And there's usually a handful of guys, five or six guys. The way that DraftKings breaks it up, though, you usually get lucky because they'll have three contests on Saturday with the early games, the afternoon, and the evening games, and usually your guys are split up. This group of six guys that you must have in your lineup are usually split up. Now, they're going to cost you, and normally in that $10,000 range. So I will always say this, beware. You know, like last year, the Melvin Gordons, you know, the girl, Abdullah from Nebraska. These guys that you are spending a lot of money, you have to be very careful with because they do produce often, but it's going to limit you in other areas. So you had best hope that if you're going to drop 10 grand in a college game, that they do put up 30 to 40 points for you. Otherwise, you're in trouble, big trouble. So where do you want to go this week, Jay? Week one, a lot of unknowns in the running back situation.
Well, you know, we've got to try to figure out some of those games that these teams are going to be in a little more, just like the quarterback position. You know, it's always something you're worried about is the third and fourth string running back going to be the guys getting garbage touchdowns in the fourth quarter. You know, when we look at some of the more even matchups, though, I think we've got to stay away from anybody going against an SEC defense just because I'm not really willing to say that they're going to be in the game late enough for them to have meaningful touches. So that takes out some of these high guys, some of these guys a little higher up the board because we do see a lot of those smaller schools having these big-time running backs during the regular season. So, you know, one of the guys that I do like is, you know, another guy right out by you, and that's James Conner of Pittsburgh. This could be one of those big guys that we're talking about at $9,800.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt you, and I'm going to say this. Okay. I'm putting him in. I've already got him in. He's my guy. He stole my thunder right off the bat. Number one running back gone off the board. Boom, done. You got to have James Conner in the lineup. This is why. You have a new coaching staff, and you're playing Youngstown State, who beat them. That is still in the mouths of the University of Pittsburgh. They're going to run the score up on Youngstown State this year, Jay. And Conner, in my mind, is one of the best running backs in the country. Living out here, watching him every week, Conner is an awesome running back. Has to be in our lineup. There's not even any debate whether or not we're going to keep him out. He's going in. Tell the listeners why you like him and why he is worth the value at $9,800.
I mean, why I like him is because he's one of the best in the country right now. He's going to be in the Heisman discussion, especially early on in the season. We will see how Pitt does over the course of the year. But you're talking about one of the top running backs overall. He's got the power. He's got the ability to run over a team like Youngstown State. So, you know, I think James Conner is just a no-brainer, like you said.
Yep, right on. So who's the second guy? And if you actually pick my second guy, and for the listeners, J.A. and I do not go over our lineups before we get on the show. So now he's taking my sleeper quarterback in Hackenberg. He's taking my number one running back. Are you going to steal my second running back, J.A.? Who is it?
My second guy is Jalen Hurd.
No, you got to be kidding me. I wish I had a picture of what I have in our lineup, because if you weren't going to pick Jalen Hurd, I was going to debate you why we needed to play Jalen Hurd. I am dead serious. That is just wrong. Go ahead, let the listeners know why Jalen Hurd is a great value in week one of college football.
$6,900, you have the Tennessee running back going against Bowling Green State. He put on weight in the offseason, as you will see in the news and notes on DraftKings, and that does not bode well for Bowling Green State's defense, who was very suspect. I mean, it's a MAC school, so they're always a very suspect defense, But now you're talking about an undersized defense that's going to have this massive bowling ball coming at them all day. You know, Jalen Hurd, although Bowling Green State does have the ability to put up some points, we'll see if they can do it against an SEC team. I think that they could give Tennessee a small run for their money here, which will keep Hurd very valuable throughout that entire game. So, Jalen Hurd, get him in your lineup at 6,900.
Okay, folks, so now you got Jalen Hurd and James Conner. Jay and I agree on both. Do not play them. If you go back to last year and have listened to the Fantasy Freeway at all, and you're a loyal listener of the show, you know that when J.A. and I agree 100% on a player, it is probably not a wise choice. But they are two very...
Check your lineup.
or
check
watch
the
score.
Reports, check the late scratches. Check anything you need to do to make sure these guys are going to be playing.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the way the world's going, you got to check arrest reports, too. Check law enforcement. That's been happening in a bad way often. So, but just to recap, James Conner, Jalen Hurd, two great value plays this week. I know Conner is close to that 10 grand like we talked about, but it's Youngstown State. I see the new coaching staff wanting to establish Conner early. This is a guy that's going to pound the ball. He may have a very good day at halftime against an undermanned Youngstown State team. So this is a guy that may not play in the second half, but still get you 25 or 30 points at running back. And that's what you're looking for. Let's move on to wide receiver, Jay. And there's no way in the world, there is no way in the world with three wide receiver slots and all these teams that you're going to pick one of my guys. There's no way. Can't be. Take it away.
All right. My first guy, our first guy, I probably should say right now, is Kevon Lucas of Tulsa. You know, we talk about this school a lot last year because of how many points they're able to put up. He averaged 25.9 fantasy points per game last season, and at $7,800, you know, he did drop off a little bit late in the year. But when you look at his production in the middle of the season, and especially early on in the season, week one, he put up 60 points. I think this guy's got to be in the lineup this week.
Okay, now you got to take a look where we're at money-wise. We're at about $4,200 average remaining salary. So a receiver, high-end receiver like this, is going to strap us going forward with two receivers and two flex positions left. So that's one thing to keep in mind. I'm okay with that. I looked at him as a very good player, but the salary part of it kind of shied me away. So I've moved down the list a little bit. Before I give you my guys, throw out a couple other names.
All right, well, another guy that I do like is Louisiana Monroe receiver Rashawn Caesar. He's at 4,100, so it's much more workable into our lineup here. When we look at what he did late in the season, he looked very good. He did have a slow start, which is a little concerning for me, but, you know, that happens in college sometimes. He has a very good matchup this week going against, you know, Georgia, because we know that Georgia is probably going to have a pretty good lead. There's going to be a lot of opportunity for a guy like Caesar running in the secondary in the second half of this game.
Sounds good. You know what? I had not even researched Caesar. Being from Louisiana Monroe against Georgia, again, a team that typically is pretty good defensively, but you may have sold me to include him in our lineup based on the salary. It seems like a very good value play. I'm going to put Caesar in, and I'm going to hold off on your first player because I'm thinking if we can try to get those value picks in at receiver, we can go back in the flex position and maybe look at a high-end guy. You okay with that?
I am. Who else do you have at receiver? I'm not going too deep at receiver so far this season.
There's a guy that I really like that I think is a great value, a little bit above our average salary, but he will not reduce it too much. That's Jordan Payton from UCLA. I like this kid. UCLA is a team that will – if you're looking at a team that's probably going to resemble an NFL-type offense that mixes pass and run, it's UCLA. And when you look at Payton, what he did last year, not overwhelmingly, statistically, But this is a guy that's going to be targeted. Last year, 67 catches, 954 yards, 7 touchdowns. This is a guy that is returning to UCLA. And at $4,700, I really like this play in week one as UCLA tries to establish a passing game after losing Hundley, who is now actually a Green Bay Packer. But UCLA is a team that will mix the pass and the run consistently, so Peyton is going to get his targets on Saturday. Now, my only concern here, how long will he play? You know, this is a game that I look at. It's one of those games that I have to worry, is Peyton going to play the whole game? And I don't know. But I like Jordan Peyton, and that's a name, folks, to look out for all year. Your thoughts, Jay?
I like it. At some point we've got to take chances with guys regardless of the matchup, even if we think, you know, they may not get in there that much. The idea is, though, especially a team like UCLA, they are going to try to probably be putting the ball up a lot early on in the early parts of this game. So I would look for Jordan Peyton to be a big part of that. So I like going with him.
Okay, buddy. Well, I'll put him in. And I do have another receiver that I have some questions about, but I think it's going to be a very good game on Saturday, and it's a Stanford Northwestern game, and it's Austin Hooper from Stanford. When you look at I was looking for a player on the really low end salary wise, so that we could go a little bit higher in some other positions. And Austin Hooper, I kept going back to him from Stanford. Not a great stat line last year, but he should get some increased looks this year. 40 catches, 499 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he's only $3,000. Playing against Northwestern, who's not a power in the Big Ten, but I think they're getting more competitive. And I like week one matchup, Stanford-Northwestern. I like Austin Hooper.
Yeah, I like it as well. I think, especially value-wise, when you're talking about this guy at $3,000, looking at his game log last season, he started off consistent with 4 catches for about 60 yards every game, and he had a touchdown one of those. So, you know, maybe this is that week we get lucky, and at $3,000, if we don't get lucky, he's not hurting the bank.
So I'm going to put him in, Jay. And I'm looking up something right now.
And I'm going to throw this out to people because I've really been going to this website and I've fallen in love with it for depth charts. And it's called ourlads.com. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, J.A., but it's very accurate. It's called ourlads.com. I found it actually on a Google search when I was doing a preview for the Red Light Sports Ramble. Very accurate with their depth charts, up to the minute. With injuries, when somebody gets hurt, like Randall Cobb got hurt on Monday, the depth chart on our lads already had Randall Cobb as the fourth receiver as injured. So they're very up to date. They don't wait. They don't hold off. They make the changes as soon as they know or hear something. And when I look at Stanford's depth chart, unfortunately, I don't even see Hooper on the depth chart. So that's concerning to me when I look at that.
And we got to remember, too, that is an early game, so we wouldn't be able to flex him out or get him changed out easily.
I want to tell you what, folks, I still like Cooper, and I'm wondering where he is on this depth chart. College may be different than the pros, but you know, Hooper's the guy that played extensively last year, and unless he is injured, but I don't see anything from DraftKings. But I like Hooper at $3,000. He's a guy we can look at, maybe change if we have money left over in the flex. But I'm not sure because I really like the guy that you had mentioned right off the bat, and it's really going to strap us, though, if we go with Kevon Lucas. I'm not even sure if we can fit another player, and we're going to have to go back, and we're going to have to make a change somewhere. And I'm thinking it might have to be at quarterback and getting rid of Hackenberg or Matty Mock, and maybe even go lower than that. But how set are you on having Lucas in the lineup?
I'm fine if, you know, we want to I throw out that other name, Rashad Caesar or Rashawn Caesar. I mean, if we want to go with him, swap him out.
I already have Caesar in. I have at receiver Caesar Payton Hooper.
Oh, Hooper was the one that we were – okay.
And so I was trying to look up the depth chart at Stanford, and it doesn't have Hooper on there, but I'll have to do more research. When I look at, you know, the numbers and just remembering from last year, Hooper was involved in the offense, so I'm not sure why he's not on the depth chart and listed in DraftKings. He may be suspended. I'm not sure. I'll have to look before Saturday, and if there is a change, I will tweet it out on at Red Light Sports that we have removed Austin Hooper from our lineup when I do a little more research on that. But I'm going to keep him in for now, Jay, just because of the $3,000 price tag. We can't get any lower than that. So if we put Kevon Lucas in at $7,800, we only have $1,600 left.
That's not going to work then.
I don't want to get rid of Connor. I don't want to get rid of Hurd. I mean, we could go down from Connor if you want, but I think he's going to get 200 yards in week one, Jay. I mean, he's a Heisman hopeful. So I like the value even at $9,800, and you see the 27 fantasy points per game. I think he's going to top that this week. But I really love Hurd,
too. I feel much more confident in him over a wide receiver that isn't a top-tier wide receiver.
Yeah, and I like in college, unless it is a definite number one receiver. Like last year in my flex, almost every week, there's a guy that I played that everybody's going to know. His name was Amari Cooper. He was my flex every week in college football when I could play him if he was available. Those are the type of players, Jay, that I look for in the flex that are definite number one guys, and if it's a receiver, it's got to be a number one guy. I'll take more chances in my first three receivers, and when I look at flex, I want number one running backs, and I want number one running backs, and that's the way I look at it. So do we want to go with some receivers here and roll the dice, or do we want to flip back over to the running back position and look for some starting running backs that have good matchups that we can fit in for $4,700? Because there are a number out there that are going to be very good with matchups that we can get in that flex position, or is there a receiver that you want to throw in there?
I'm not really feeling much on the receiver end, and I think it's just a little too hit or miss on is the ball going to be going their way or not. So I like your strategy going with the running back.
And, you know, when you look in that range, we can go probably even up to like a $5,500 running back, maybe even a little bit higher, because even in the $3,000 range, I think we can find some guys that are going to contribute to their team this weekend. But as we look at running back JA in that salary range, is there anybody that sticks out to you immediately that we can take a look at in that $5,000 range?
Well, I've been trying to build my way up from the 3,000s and getting up there, and I'm not seeing a whole lot without knowing a little more on the depth chart. So I'm going to have to take a look at that website. But when we get to the $5,000 range, you know, the names that stick out to me right away, I mean, you've got to like Brandon Radcliffe, except the fact he's going against Auburn. You know, that's definitely a reason to kind of stay away from him. $5,300 is, you know, I just think a little bit too much of an unknown going against a great SEC team like that. Justin Jackson of Northwestern is right at $5,000. I do like this play, but when you look at his game log last season, he started off kind of slow. This is a big Stanford defense that he's going to be going against, so I don't know how much I like that.
How about DeAndre Washington from Texas Tech? Take a look at his game log. This is a guy that ran for over 1,000 yards and catches the ball out of the backfield.
What is his salary at?
$4,900. He's from Texas Tech.
Where is he? There he is. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm good with this. I was actually looking at some other guys from Texas Tech to try to see what their you know, what other lower-end running backs you could maybe steal some points with. But, yeah, I'm more than okay going with him.
Wonderful. So I'm going to put him in. Leaves us with $4,900. Now, our options get limited here at running back. But when you look at the remaining running backs here, there is a guy that I like that I think is going to get an extended look this year, even though when you look at last year's stats, it's Jamal Morrow from Washington State. But this would be rolling the dice. Now, he's playing against Portland State. This could be one of those games where they maybe try to showcase him and get him into the offense and get him some carries. But he wasn't.
He averaged between 7 and 10 carries a game last year, J.A. But this is a guy, you know, maybe that we question mark. I do a little bit more research on, but I think he should see an increased workload this year at Washington State. But is there anybody else running back-wise, or do you want to flip over to the receivers and see if we can't find a good receiver at 4,900? Because I think we might be able to.
Well, staying in that Texas Tech game, Ian Sadler keeps coming up no matter how I'm doing my researching. And, you know, he didn't come on until about week 6 last year, so he was a little behind by the time he started playing. But, I mean, he did get some consistent catches. You know, we're looking at a guy in that Texas Tech offense to be able to kind of stretch the field. And being the third receiver on the team, he could be that guy that ends up, you know, because everyone else is just giving a little more attention, he could be the guy who ends up putting up, you know, a 7-10 catch game just out of necessity of checkdowns.
What was the name again, Jay? I'm sorry.
Ian Sadler of Texas Tech, 4,700.
Let's do it.
S-A-D-L-E-R.
Got it.
Let's do it. Let's go to Texas Tech, guys. I'm okay with that. I mean, it's a matchup. This is, you know, you look at the Texas Tech schedule, this is probably supposedly a cupcake game for them. But that means they should be able to put up some points. And Texas Tech is a team that likes to score points. So I'm okay going with a running back and wide receiver from the same team.
Actually, let me throw out one more name for you, and that's Deshaun Hamilton of Penn State, just because then we could possibly double up on points with Hackenberg. He's at the same price range, 4,700.
We could do that, or we could go with an unknown quarterback from, well, Texas Tech is going to have Davis Webb. He's 8,700. Do you want to – it's up to you. I'm going to leave it this way. I'm going to let you pick if we go running back wide receiver from Texas Tech or we can go Penn State quarterback wide receiver. I mean, I like that because we try to do that in the NFL, and I'm okay with that.
I think we should go with the Penn State connection also because with the one receiver that we're going to be checking out on you know, this gives us $200 of a little bit of flexibility if we do have to get him out of there, and we can always reassess Saturday morning if needed.
Sounds good, buddy. So Deshaun Hamilton, Penn State. I like it. I like that find. That's a great find, J.A. I like it. So I'm impressed. Week 1, college football, DraftKings, Thursday night. We're done before the studio lady cuts us off. How does that make you feel, Jay?
First time for everything.
And we got time to spare. But I know I want to let – we didn't get in the beginning. I didn't let you plug cover that spread, so we got time at the end. I do want to go over the lineup for the fans that are listening in, the archive listens, the live listeners. We have Hackenberg from Penn State, Matty Mock from Missouri as our two quarterbacks. We really have two stud running backs, and we went a little bit higher salary-wise because we really feel that these two guys are probably going to have great games this weekend. Jalen Hurd from Tennessee, James Conner from Pitt, a Heisman hopeful. At wide receiver, we rolled the dice a little bit with our receivers. Rashawn Caesar from Louisiana Monroe, Jordan Payton from UCLA,
And Austin Hooper from Stanford, where we have to do a little bit of research because he was not shown on the depth chart. So I'm going to research that and make sure that he's actually playing and not suspended because he was not even listed on the depth chart. Then we have DeAndre Washington from Texas Tech, and we have Hackenberg's wide receiver partner, Deshaun Hamilton from Penn State, as our other flex position. I like it, Jay. We'll see how it rolls out. You never know in college football. That is the joy. So I do want you to tell me what's going on with Cover That Spread, who is a great sponsor of the Fantasy Freeway and a corporate partner of the Red Light Sports Network. So let the listeners know what's going on with Cover That Spread this week.
Well, it's the big opening weekend right now for college football. We have 8 free plays out there that we went over yesterday on the show, The Spread, at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. So, you know, if you didn't catch the show, be sure to go on there. The 2 plays for tonight are already in progress, but we've got 6 other plays throughout the weekend that we gave away for free. So get on there and go get these plays out there. If you guys have any questions about sports betting or about getting into it, always you can just send me an email to spread@coverthatspread.com. And if you guys want the whole entire weekend from us for free, just send me an email and I'll get it out to you. I'll get you on our email list. So a lot of stuff going on. We've got the NFL starting next week. We also have our NFL preview series that's out there. There's a lot of information we've got going on. There's a lot happening with the start of the football season. We're just excited to get back and doing this show and talking football on Wednesdays at 6:30. So it's been fun. We're looking forward to another great season.
Yes, and I have figured out, I think, the player issues on the website. So coming soon, or coming this week, there will be a tab at the top of the Red Light Sports Network on our main menu that will be Cover That Spread. And what it is, it's great. JA has included playlists of all of the episodes, and you'll be able to listen to the archived one from Wednesday immediately when the playlist is updated on my end. So I think I figured it out, JA. I had to reach out to my former faculty members at Full Sail, let them know I was having issues trying to import this into the website. So I think I've got it figured out. Now I just have to get the time this weekend, which will most likely be Sunday, and I'll be able to get all of the archived episodes up, and then we'll be able to have a direct link right to the playlist. So I'm excited about getting that up for Cover That Spread. But, folks, I'm going to give JA props, and I did this yesterday when I was talking about the website and talking with people about what we do. And I love the website. I love the Red Light Sports Network. Very passionate about it. And when we decided to bring JA aboard, you remember, JA, you and I had the conversation about gambling and what it would do for the perception of the Red Light Sports Network. But the reason that we've had this great partnership is because of the way that Cover That Spread approaches the world of gambling. It is something that can become addictive, and if you have a problem with it, need to get to Gamblers Anonymous. Because it is an industry where you can lose thousands upon thousands of dollars. But going back to my point, the reason we've partnered with Cover That Spread is because, JA, I love your approach. You treat it with each of your clients as an investment and as a way to gamble responsibly. And that is, in my book, 100% the best way to go about this. So those fans listening in, you've heard the stories about gambling, but it's not the little black book and kneecaps being broken. When you work with JA, he's going to work with you, work with your budget, find out what you have discretionary income to put into a wagering pool as an investment. And I really love that, JA. So I know we only got a couple minutes, but kind of expand on what I just said, because you've heard me say this spiel before. I love what you do that way. I probably don't say it as eloquently as you, but just add a little bit to what I said as to the point of approaching gambling.
Well, you said it right about the budgeting. You know, it's all about finding what your bankroll is and finding what your bankroll can afford. And once we have a number that we know you can afford and that you're comfortable being with, then that's where we can start breaking down how much we can actually be investing, because the smaller bankroll that you have, the less risk that you want out there on a weekly basis. So instead of putting out maybe some of the riskier plays, we're going to be toning it back a little bit and making sure that we're in a very good growth strategy to get you to where you want to be. So, you know, it's all about you and finding that right comfort level.